everyone. I'm Ian.
And I'm Sam.
And this is Do I Like This, the podcast.
And we have a very special guest.
At the podcast where I bring Sam terrible B-movies from my backlog.
Well, yeah. And we have a very special guest.
And we have a very special guest. Joining us for the first of we hope to be multiple appearances is my brother, Brett.
Yay. Yes, hello. I am the brother. Is that good enough? What else do you want?
And I'm about to be the third wheel, and it's okay.
I'm not a complicated premise. I don't need a huge preamble.
This week, we're doing one of my favorite films in the horror genre. Sorry, I should tell you what it is. And this was Frankenstein's Army, 2013. Sam is going to lead the narration. Hold on, I want to bring up the IMDb. I'm not prepared. Hold,
please. This is one of your favorite horror movies, is what you're telling me.
I really like this well, film.
We watched it the first time, I don't know, a long time ago. And then we recently had, not recently, maybe like 2 years ago, Ian made Paul and Chayden watch it at the house too.
Ah, yes.
So this is my third time seeing it. The first time I didn't remember anything but the monsters, which are kind of unforgettable. The second time, I think, I don't know what happened. Maybe we were talking or something, because this time when we watched it, I kept saying to Ian, I don't remember that.
Yeah. I had the same experience with it as you did this time. So quick, before we dive into our more normal routine, the IMDb, let's see how close it is this week. In the dying days of World War II, a battalion of Russian soldiers is lured into the secret lab of a deranged scientist and forced to face off against an army of horrific flesh and metal war machines. Not bad for IMDb.
Is that what happened?
I mean, definitely was parts of what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say it's more accurate than some of the ones that we get.
Yeah, definitely better than
Troll.
Troll. Good Lord. Troll.
I think it captures the gist of the movie.
Mm. Yeah. So I think we'll just dive right into this. And Sam, take it away.
Feel free to interject at any point, Brett.
Oh, we will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting it from you too, so it's fine. So
real quick, I just want to interject. No.
What?
No, I was being a dick.
Oh, okay.
Dad joke.
So this is one of those found film type movies. So you're...
Yeah, I didn't know that. Right? They have that opening, like, so they have the cold open with the director basically giving his little spiel about how they're making a Russian propaganda film. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, cool, this is just going to be the cold open, and then we'll get into a movie. And then like 10 minutes later, I was like, no, this is what we're doing. Okay, fine. I wasn't ready for it. That's all.
Same reaction Sam and I had the first time we watched it. We both were like, this opening's like 30 minutes
still
long.
Going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of just do a little quick overview of it. No need to get into details because...
Mm-hmm. No, those 30 minutes, there's not much you need to know.
Yeah. So basically, as Brett said, it's the director of this propaganda film.
Mm-hmm.
They're recording the heroic deeds of the army. There's lots of montages of fighting.
Heroic deeds like stealing someone's chicken,
murdering
beer.
Children. Ian, I don't know what's wrong with you in picking movies where everyone murders children, but there we go.
Hey, Troll, we found out the child wasn't murdered.
That's
in the
true.
End, all right? So
that's true. It was a near child murder. Yeah, murdering villagers, pillaging, etc.
Drunk bicycling in the hills.
Yeah. We get some names that are, you know, some of them are important. The rest of them are not really. The guy holding the camera is Dimitri, or they call him Dima.
Mm-hmm.
Dima.
There's lots of nicknames going on. Sasha is his little helper who carries
the bag. Like
the
inexperienced soldier. It's like his first march or something.
Sasha's so bummed. Like, they make him stay behind with the gear rather than go to the front line where they're going to get shot at. And he's like, oh, darn it. It's like, dude, that's great. You're not going to die today. Are you? Ooh, we'll find out.
Mm.
A lot of people are going to die today.
It's assumed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In some of the most fun ways ever.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have Vasily, who is a sociopath who likes to murder and potentially like try to rape people, I guess.
He is the rapiest of the bunch. Yes. Most handsy out of all of them.
Yes.
Ironic. What happens to one of his hands?
Both.
Is that what? Oh, well.
Did he lose both in the end?
He had no arms.
Oh, all right.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. This movie, everyone's going to die in this movie.
We'll get to the end when we're at the end, because that's what I have the most things to say about.
Yes. Oh, God.
As most people would, I would assume.
See, I thought you were going to be front loaded.
My notes for the first 20 minutes of the movie are literally soldiers screwing around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they do. They just walk through the woods and poke stuff and look heroic, but do rude things. Yeah.
At one point, it's established that they're not able to reach their headquarters, which they call Mother.
Mm-hmm.
They find like a burnt down church with a bunch of nuns that had
been... Whoa, hold on. You're jumping way too far ahead, because you haven't gotten the call that they get them going on their thing.
The thesis of the movie, the big question that we all need to answer.
But that we all instantly knew what was going on.
Right.
Who is Tiger Bear? Who is he? I don't know, but he's in trouble and we got to get him. Listen, cool code names. I dig it.
Yeah.
Tiger Bear, 303. Sound like they're badass.
Tiger Bear.
Tiger Bear.
They get a call from Tiger Bear, the call sign, saying they're in distress and
the coordinates.
The guys are confused because they're like, I thought we were the only Inglorious Bastards type thing happening here. But apparently there's another one and they've got to go save them.
And they're cooler named.
We're the only plot line in town.
Seriously.
What else could they have done, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's when they come upon the burnt out church with the pile of burned nuns.
Oh, yeah.
Which was...
They're like melded together too. It was pretty effective imagery of like, oh, crazy shit happens in this church.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie started really turning around for me at this point because before this, it was just guys screwing around in the woods. But once they actually get to like the set is what I'm going to call this, like the parts of the film where they're using locations, all of the locations are really good.
Like, yeah.
That stood out to me.
The set work, the costume design on all of the creatures in this movie is fun.
Like the buildings, the church, all the ones we end up in the town, they're super creepy. Mm-hmm. They look really uncomfortable to be in. And that was like, that was probably the highlight of the whole production for me, is that like, man, this place looks like a place I don't want to be.
Yeah, it's like everything's real tight, like claustrophobic kind of. Mm-hmm.
And it had that eerie vibe of, something fucked up's happening here. Like when they see that first like anti-aircraft gunner that's clearly way ahead of its time and you're like, they're looking at it like, what the heck is this bombed out thing? You're like, bad things are happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Just now from here, we get lots more like creepiness and dead bodies. And
I think that's the fastest we've made through 30 minutes of a movie ever.
Right. Cause literally nothing happens but them fucking around the woods.
Yeah.
Like Brett said.
There's basically 10 lines of dialogue.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't take any quotes in this movie because it's usually one of my big things, because there's nothing they say that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Dima toward the end. You're right. Tiger Bear is the best quote of the movie. Brett had it.
And Sasha. Sasha. Scolding a dog.
Right. You fucking idiot.
Even when he has the good idea to put the radio on the tower, they're like, Sasha. Thanks. Go to the basement and look in the corner.
Good job, kid. Piss off.
Yeah, good job, kid.
Oh, okay. Well, shit. So in the back of the church, they're creeping around and they come across a thing.
Oh, this was...
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. So go ahead. Right. You do it.
I thought you meant the next guy. No. So they're you know, sneaking through the church and... can't remember if it's the Rock or the Winter Soldier, but one of the guys finds a monster in the back. Yeah, they all have names, but you know, we'll get there. One of them guys finds a monstery thing on the floor in the back, apparently inert. It's plugged up to like a wall socket or something.
It's naked. It's got kind of a Silent Hill vibe to it, of those like torso creatures.
Half Silent Hill, half Cenobite nonsense, just like on the ground.
Yes.
Has like a drill on its arm or something. Just like
And it's got, like you said, a cable that's some sort of electricity, we find
not
out.
Not moving.
As until Sasha goes to the basement and they, for some reason, like, start the generator up and make a lot of noise, guys.
Yeah.
Dima tells him to start the generator. In. Yeah.
I miss the days of technology when a squad could just go in a building and like, oh yeah, we know how to work these machines because it's just a crank.
They start the generator. They see electricity starting to happen. There's like sparking in the lights, which in itself is terrifying.
They get like a moment of excitement that will be very short lived.
Mm-hmm. So the little naked no face person starts to kind of like twitch a little bit on the floor, and they're all way too close to it.
Oh yeah.
Can we just say that?
There were a lot of problems here, tactically speaking.
And I'm going to start from the top down, and the commander, he really should have set a better example for how to handle situations.
Yeah, so the thing stands up and starts kind of like moving around with its hands out because it can't see. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like feeling the room, I guess.
And you can see it's got in one arm this like chainsaw hand.
Yeah, it's like a massive drill bit.
Yeah.
So then the commander, general, whatever he is.
Brett, what was his nickname?
Old guy. He didn't get a nickname. He died too.
Yeah,
sorry.
He didn't last long enough.
Yep. About to happen right now.
He grabs, so the thing's getting up in his face, like its hands reaching out, and he like goes to touch and he goes, "What are you?" And the answer is the thing that's about to murder your chest with a drill.
Right. So this creature went from prone on the floor. It took it no less than a full minute to stand up, grope around, reach out. At no point did any of the 5+ armed men with guns seeing a fucking abomination in the goddamn room take a shot or do anything to stop it. I'm just sitting there like, y'all deserve to die, guys. I'm sorry.
The moment that thing twitches, I'm unloading my entire gun into it.
It's the worst thing ever.
Well, and they don't react. So obviously it starts drilling the captain in the chest, and their reaction is just like not to instantly shoot at it, but like to panic for another 10 to 15 seconds as it tears his intestines apart.
Yeah, these are mostly hardened soldiers who have withstood the Russian winters of World War II. And they just sit back like, oh, that's happening. What should I do?
Yeah. Eventually, there's a chaotic couple moments. They start unloading all their ammo into it, and they put it down, but not out until we cut to the captain with a great, like, scan shot of his following his intestines, which have been ripped out up the floor for a minute, to his body. And you're like, prognosis bad.
Yeah.
There is one shot of the creature taking a swipe at the cameraman, so attacking you, the viewer. Actually pretty good. I was actually pretty impressed by it. It was creepy.
Before we go any further, I just want to put out that camera is the god mode cheat code, apparently, to these monsters, because it is like an impenetrable shield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's one of those little handheld one-eye tiny cameras, and somehow
we'll go through the monsters, and they're gigantic at points. Dima should be dead many times, but that camera saves him.
Well, this is the first, the world's first widescreen high def camera in 1945 or whatever it is. So, you know, apparently it's also made out of bulletproof glass or something.
So on that point, and just kind of more related note, it was shot really well for a held camera movie.
Yeah, I was curious if you thought this, Brett. It, to me, we were like halfway through and I said to Ian, this looks like a video game. Like you're playing Outlast or some sort of horror game where you're
like a Resident Evil
around.
4 kind of feel to the way you're going through this abandoned Eastern European village area.
It was definitely good. I'm not the biggest fan of the found footage because the shaky cam thing kind of makes me feel sick halfway through the movie. But I think on when they had an important scene where they actually wanted to capture what was going on, they did a good job of, you know, finding a place for the camera to go and keeping it there and not making me puke all over the floor. But when they're like running
and when they didn't like, and like the catacomb kind of scene we'll come to, which I thought was really effective.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But it did look good.
All right.
Anyways, old guy's dead. Old guy's dying.
Vasily. So this actually happened earlier too. This setting up.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Vasily comes up, the sociopath.
Ice cold.
A psychopath really takes a knife and puts the captain or whatever out of his misery with it, and which he had done earlier to a nun.
Oh yeah, because she was melted in the pile but still alive, still and he was like, "Nah, you don't want to come back from this."
So I guess this is like his signature move because it happens again later.
Let someone else beat my enemy.
Couldn't just shoot him or anything. Gotta give him the slow jugular stab or whatever.
They used all the bullets they had on that thing in that room.
So then they, there's like an argument between Vasily and what was that guy's name? Sergey? Was his name Sergey?
Sergey, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the Polish radio operator who, for my money, is the best actor in this movie.
Oh, yes. Hands down.
Like, hands down. Yeah.
I looked him up on IMDb and he was like the main character in Gallivant, that TV show. So I was like, okay.
That's good.
He was good. He was good. I had no problem with him.
Yeah. So he and Vasily argue over who's in charge. He's in charge because he outranks him, whatever.
And when he turns to the rest of the squad, everyone's like, nah, you're crazy. We're going with the Polish guy.
Yeah. So there's some tension between those two. And he sends everyone except for himself and Sasha out to search the village for Tiger Bear.
Do reconnaissance, see if they can find anyone and bring back a prisoner is a specific command they give them.
So this is where they're in the village. They go into a barn and there's a bunch of rabbits in cages and they take the rabbits out and just start smashing them to kill them.
He did.
This movie is brutal. Like
brutal.
Anyone doesn't like gore or violent violence.
If you're a fan of unharmed animals, children, old people, stay away from this film.
Dismemberment.
Yeah. If you don't like to see if you thought All Through the House had some gore in it, that was baby steps for this.
This is a bit more palatable because of some other things that we'll get into.
You mean because it's a good movie?
So they're a farmer comes in, a guy who's
some guy.
He feeds the bunnies, I guess.
Local man arrives on the scene.
Local man feeds animals. News at 11.
They start to interrogate him to find out where Tiger Bear are, and they keep saying, "Where are the Russians?" And I'm like, "You guys are the Russians."
Yeah,
like,
they're probably really confused.
Right. Then I realized that they were asking, like, "Where are the other Russians?" And it took me a minute because I was like, "Wait. They're Russian."
So I appreciate that this movie decided we're going to have everyone speak in English.
Right.
And yet they still had them speaking in English to this guy who speaks back in English like, "I don't understand. I don't understand." And I kind of just shook my head like, this is the downside of making that choice. You kind of don't have to play that barrier.
I think he was saying, "I don't understand what you mean by where are the Russians."
Not, see, that makes way more sense than the way I was interpreting that. Because I was like, that's an interesting choice, but okay. I'll go along with it.
Can I really briefly touch on casting for a second?
Yes.
Because I would say 90% of the cast looked spot on for what I expected them to be. Mm-hmm. Except for The Rock. There is a dude among the Russian soldiers.
The helmet guy.
Yeah, is a burly man. Yeah. My initial reaction upon seeing him, probably because I've very recently watched many Fast and Furious movies, was I thought, is that guy like Maori or like Pacific Islander? Or because he's definitely not Russian in any way at all.
No.
Well,
no.
Maybe he was Siberian. Like, the further north you go, you get that sort of more...
Well,
indigenous.
I looked
Eastern
it up.
European. Yeah.
I looked it up because I was curious. He's actually...
what was the result?
He's actually of Chinese descent and based out of London. So I was off. I'm sure there's a palatable lore reason for why he was in the squad. But when I was looking at the cast, I was watching all these guys. I was like, all right, you're okay, fine. All right.
You're pulling me out of disbelief.
You got through into this casting. I mean, I dig it. He's good in the movie, but I was just a little surprised.
I thought they were trying to go for like a Genghis Khan type figure.
Maybe.
Because he was like burly and like rawr, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Genghis
Khan's genetic
Russia,
impact, you know, it's possible.
World War II Russia was astoundingly diverse, so.
Well, and I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it didn't bother you guys. I wasn't bothered. That was just like,
I thought about it for a minute, and in my head, I rationalized like way northeast in the Asian continents, maybe somebody came down.
Well, way more importantly than that, when I went to click the show on Amazon, a still frame came up before it started playing in an ad for The Expanse, which I've been watching, and I saw the guy from The Expanse on it, and I was like, oh, I love that guy. He's in this? And then it played the ad. No, he's not in this movie. Shit. Okay, well... So I was really excited for like 2 seconds. Cool. But yeah.
Got your hopes up.
Yeah.
And you got that. 30 minutes of slow story to bring you back down to reality.
Well, we're
going to be plenty of time to
jump in with both feet.
We're about to give you like the adrenaline shot to the heart that is the rest
movie
of the
starts
film.
Finally after the interrogation.
Yeah. 40 minutes in.
So they're interrogating this farmer. He's starts saying things like, there's a doctor, he makes these things, everyone got scared away. Vasily decides to take over the interrogation and cuts off his finger.
Garbage like, decisions by Vasily.
Take us to them. And the guy's like, all right, I'll take you to them. And in my head, I'm like, I know what he's doing.
Yeah, clearly a trap.
Dumb.
Yeah.
They're like, you'll take us to the missing Russians? And he's like, yeah, sure, come on.
Isn't that your first red flag when farmer guy's like, sure, I'll take you there after you chopped off my finger. I'm totally interested in helping you.
So he leads them to this place. It looks like it goes under the building.
Hmm. Oh, you mean taking you into these tunnels isn't a red flag?
I think the Nazi science that's going on was enough of a red flag for me not to be there.
Mm.
Yeah, that first one, after seeing that, I've been like, you know what? The squad's on their own.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I quit.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, this was awesome.
So he leads them into this like underground tunnels. They make him go first. Smart. I would have done the same thing. He's leading them through. It's very maze like. You start to hear kind of like rumbly sounds. And there's a tunnel that's like a T intersection. And they're in the top of the T part. I'm making hand motions because I can see myself and I'm, you know,
they're coming perpendicular at the T. So they're going to intersect it. It's going to go left and right.
Yeah. So they go out in there. The farmer disappears.
Yeah. They turn around and guy had one job to watch him and didn't watch him.
Guy had been shot in the leg, had a finger cut off, vanishes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I forgot he got shot too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He did get shot. Sorry about that. We forgot. So then They're in the top of the T, and all of a sudden, through the center, there's people are on either side of the opening that comes in. There's like a fucking claw hand.
Oh my god!
Around the corner,
gigantic.
It's like a gigantic crab claw coming around the corner, and then everybody's kind of like, "What the fuck?" And then you get these like blade hands just swinging wildly at the camera, at the soldiers.
Yeah, it's got like a human's body with these giant blade arm, like claw hands, and like its face is all like messed up with like gas mask kind of bolts, all sorts of things. It's really cool.
One of the things that this movie does in these moments, because there's a lot of these attack moments, the sound gets muted almost. Mm-hmm. It gets, it's muffled, like really muffled. You can barely hear what's going on.
They really should have invested in the HD mic to go with their HD camera back in Russia.
It didn't necessarily bother me. I think because it gave me that video game feel.
Mm.
And so that's why I didn't totally hate it. I also don't love found footage movies. They're not really my favorite.
I think I'm the only one who has some enjoyment in them.
They're fine. If it's done well, I like it. And so this one is on the level of me like not disliking it. But I kind of liked that effect
because
I thought it added to the like claustrophobia, trap stuck kind of feeling that you have.
They do some good work with grenades later too. Well, they'll literally like muffle out just the ringing. The sound drops out. It really does do that effect well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of liked it as well. I think it's preferable to the like loud screechy monsters.
Yeah,
these things would be in like any other film.
Yes, if Michael Bay did this, the volumes would be very, very much louder.
You'd be like, ow, take your headphones off.
So at this point, they're basically running, and there's a couple of monsters coming from different directions toward
each
them.
Each exit, another
they
one
just
comes
start popping
in
out of nowhere.
Yeah. And there's a siren going off.
Mm-hmm.
So these monsters, each one is very different. Each one has their own like set of tool, arms, face, leg, whatever.
Description in the credits, which were glorious. Yeah.
I also found a wiki for all of them.
I need it.
And I was just scrolling through like, oh my God, this makes me so happy.
Right. So, I mean, Hook Hands and Lobster Claws come out the gate pretty fast. They're chasing our dudes.
And then we get our hero monster of the movie.
Ian's favorite. I don't know if it's your favorite, but he's got the
drill nose,
the drill face gas mask situation happening. And he's walking on giant blades.
And by drill face, we mean like a 4-foot drill bit off of the mouth of the gas mask.
Horrifying.
It's certainly the film's favorite design.
And you know, it's actually my second favorite. I'll get to my favorite in the second church scene. But you know, the moment you saw that, I'm like, oh, that drill's going through someone's face.
Of course. It's Chekhov's drill. It has to.
Exactly.
I think I love it because it reminds me. Have you guys ever seen Return to Oz, that terrible, terrible sequel?
No.
That's a horror movie, basically.
Maybe.
It's really old. It's from the 80s. I only saw it once as a young child. And the only thing I remember a few actually different things. The lady had a head that she changed out that really creeped me out. But there's these, like, instead of flying monkeys, she has these things. I think they were called wheelies or something. And obviously they still haunt me to this day because I remember them. They are on their hands and feet. So they're on all fours. And they have wheels on their on all their limbs, and they're super elongated, and they just like chase you.
Nice. Some good body horror.
Terrifying. So this kind of reminded me of that. And I think that's why I like it so much, because it's very creepy.
It was great.
Well, the next creature that shows up is definitely one of my favorite because it is, because it's a He-Man character.
Yeah.
It
basically
is.
Yeah.
Like Trapjaw pops out.
And he pops out with aplomb. Like, he doesn't just make an entrance. He makes an entrance.
I called him Iron Maiden face. He had a small Iron Maiden for a face, and it was just opening and closing with the spikes.
I wrote it down, RoboCop Iron Face Maiden by accident.
Yeah. He was awesome. He head bites one of the soldiers.
He headbites The Rock.
Oh, yeah, The Rock. That's who it was.
Who's wearing one of those metal, like, army helmets, so it, like, pins it to his head.
Mm-hmm. It was so good. It just comes up behind him and is like,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got. I really love horribly impractical weapons like that. Because, like, you know that creature is just like, I'm never going to get any kills. But, hey, dude, lucky you, man. This shot calls for it, so crunch his brain.
You know, he's like, you're playing like Team Fortress or something, and you're sneaking up. You're like, oh, he doesn't see me. Come on. Don't fuck it up now. I got him.
It's the backstab. Perfect.
Knife kill with my head.
He also has Lost in Space robot arms.
Oh, like, so
like the little spindly, like crappy arms. So he's just like,
he's got one move that works.
Very effective. Yeah. I mean, he's hard to kill because he's made of metal.
The monsters fall into a couple distinct categories as the movie goes on, right? Because we have like the Silent Hill Cenobite one at the beginning. Mm-hmm. The ones that jump out in the tunnel, which are kind of like just dangerous dudes. You know, they're normal human shaped. They're big. They got claws or something. There's that. And then we start getting some of the like half mechas where you got like your drill legs, man.
Yeah.
There's definitely one at the end, which is just like, it's just like a tank dude.
Silly?
Yes. I don't know how it's supposed to work, but I love it.
My favorite, since we're talking about them, is the Big Daddy knockoffs in the church.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
okay.
some good ones.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I just thought they're so impractical and awesome.
Nope. Yes. I know the one.
Yes. Yeah.
That one's got to be saved.
It was fun.
There's one toward the end that we'll talk about. It's just silly. We'll talk about it.
We'll have to wait because it has a name and it made us so happy.
It's just silly.
I know the one. They're great.
Yeah. You know the one. Anyways, they somehow get out of this tunnel, all of them alive, which makes no sense to me.
The Rock is.
He's not doing well, but he's technically alive.
Yeah. They have this little, like, reflection scene where they're, you know, having an interlude and, Sergei is smoking and talking to Dima, and basically he has the exchange of like, "Ugh, these monsters, they're insane. Whoever created this was insane." And then Dima goes, "Or brilliant." And I'm like, "Fuck you, cameraman. I knew you were evil the whole time." 35 minutes in the movie, you drop it. You are a bad dude. This is going to come up.
Yep.
I knew it.
100%.
Well, so I actually wrote this down because then Sergei turns to him and goes, "No, Dima, it's insane."
Yeah.
And then just walks away and I was like, "Yes, yes, yes."
Thank you.
There was only one acceptable response to this. Yeah.
So
I think there's a squad of sensible guys, and then you have Vasily and Dima.
Well, the squad of sensible guys is slowly getting thinned out. We're down to Sergei, Sasha, the Winter Soldier, psychopath. I think that's about all who's alive.
Oh,
now.
But we're gonna
right, and
we're gonna recruit some troops in a second.
Yep, Dima.
Yeah, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's
slamming on the door.
A couple people come busting in.
No. All right, so they're slamming on the door at night. So it's night now in the church.
Yeah.
Why on earth, after knowing what you just saw, do they open that door and go out to look in the middle of the night?
So bizarre.
It'd be rude not to.
So it's
It doesn't matter as we learn.
It's a woman, a child, an elderly Nazi.
Yeah.
Which confused me.
Yeah.
And wasn't there another guy, too?
Maybe. Those are the only ones that matter.
Yeah, those are the only ones that matter. Right. And this is where we get that Vasily is, like, rapey as fuck.
So rapey.
I can't wait till he dies.
It's not a monster movie until you assault a woman, apparently.
I guess. So they come in.
You picked it.
Ian always picks
the winners. At least there were no aggressive blowjobs, guys. I'm sorry. All right. So I had to
leave. And I was very disappointed.
Assault? Question mark?
The next one we'll try to vet better.
This is a fantastically enjoyable film.
I was making a joke.
Well, I think it's an interesting point to just briefly mention that, you know, Ian and I have been watching horrible films our entire lives, but we have distinctly different tastes in horrible films.
Yes.
Because you watch horrible horror movies and slasher films, whereas I tend to watch horrible, like, sci-fi fantasy movies. Mm-hmm. There's some overlap. I think we both dearly love our favorite film, Jason X, in our overlapping genre of horrible science fiction horror movies.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But,
yes.
So, you know, I mean, I can't say.
We bring different perspectives to what.
Yeah. Well, we'll finish.
This was my wheelhouse, 100%. Sorry, next week we'll bring you back for a much more fantasy film.
Yeah, we already have an idea in mind of what we want.
Yeah. So they come in.
It's established that the woman is a nurse, and she says, please don't rape slash murder me. I'll fix your friend who got his helmet smashed into his head.
Which I thought was interesting. I don't know how she knows that information, but whatever.
Well, no, she just sees.
Oh, I thought he was farther back. Anyways,
I also
I don't know how she thought through the rapiness of Vasily, but whatever.
Yeah. So this is a fun moment where she just I'm thinking to myself, if you're a nurse, you're not removing that helmet because you know what's underneath. And yeah. She just is like,
hold on. We haven't really described the situation with him right now.
Well, an Iron Maiden smashed the helmet into his head with its teeth things.
And it's like indented into it.
Yeah.
Down over his eyes. They can't get it off.
And there's blood coming out of.
We all know what's going to happen.
Great situation for everyone involved.
Yeah. He knows he's dying and he's asking them. Or no. That's Ian. We skipped your favorite line of the movie.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. He's lying on the table and, you know, Sergei's talking to him. He's like, kind of joking. He's like, you're not in such great shape. And Vasily comes over like with a knife, like he's about to put him out, and lying flat injured on his back. He just punches Vasily in the face and he goes, I'll fucking decide when I'm finished. Yeah, and I was like,
so funny.
It's like The Rock nailed it.
Because Vasily comes over to like, I'm going to do my finishing move. Like,
dude, you can't go to sleep near Vasily and he's going to try and put a knife in you.
Yeah. Or something.
Oh.
Gross.
while this scene is going on, Dima briefly adjusts the camera to see over his shoulder, and we get a shot of
one of the best
drill unicorn slinking down from the ceiling like it thinks it's Batman or something.
It was Batman.
And then that's coming.
So Sam was taking a note. Sam was looking down, taking a note, and I saw that, and I'm like, oh, I got to rewind. She's like, why? I'm like, just wait. And she sees it. She's like,
yeah, because it's just a quick flash. Like, blink if you miss it. Like, blink and you'll miss it.
Yeah, he's perfectly silent. Good.
Yeah.
Coming in.
And he's patient, too. He's like, they're doing something stupid. I'm going to let them keep doing this.
I'm going to let them kill this guy off, and then I'll take care of them. So the nurse, is pulling on the helmet, and there's just blood shooting, and she pulls it. And it comes off, and the guy's brain is inside the helmet. And she's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like,
oops, took your brain out.
And they put her in an impossible situation because they look at her like, you save our friend, you get the helmet off and save our friend, and we'll let you live. I'm like, well, that's a catch 22.
Right.
Yeah, so then
Vasily just starts beating on her. And then we get, he's described as the mosquito monster because he kind of looks like one.
Yeah, in the credits, they just call Mosquito.
Through
the sniper.
Winter Soldier.
Right, Winter Soldier. He's up on the scaffolding, and they're all down below. And all of a sudden, you hear the drill noise. And they look up, and it's the drill is, like, through his body.
Out his mouth. Through his head, out his mouth.
Yeah.
It was
delightful.
Awesome.
Check. And then around the corner comes Claw Hands again.
Is it the same?
Oh, yeah. Everything just busts.
Oh, yeah. Lobster Claw. Everything. Every point. So
I actually wrote chaos. page.
Shit goes wild. I do not understand how this scene is survived by anyone.
Especially Dima after the thing knocks the camera out of his hands and drags him away.
They're running around. He gets dragged. Multiple grenades go off in tight corridors. I don't even know what happened, but.
Yeah. I also wrote. Multiple times, explosions with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
Because that's what was happening. It was monster claws coming at the camera frantically, people running, bombs going off.
At the end of it, I wrote, thank God they had those grenades.
And apparently they're like melee safe because they deploy the grenade at the monster 2 feet away from them and are fine.
Yeah. Who's holding one of them? Yeah. And.
So this is where
Big Daddy comes around the corner and is like machine gunning. And I was like, ooh, I like this one.
And then the camera film runs out.
No.
Right?
No. So what happens here is Dimitri's dropped the camera. What's his name?
They end up going down like a hatch or something.
Sergei picks it up. The grenades go off. Somehow a dazed Dima is okay, takes the camera back. They, like, back down the basement stairs.
Oh, that's right.
And shut it.
It's some sort of hatch or
Yeah.
Staircase.
All of them minus Winter Soldier have made it.
Yeah, all of them except the initial guy.
Actually, didn't one of the kids get killed? The kid got killed. Yeah.
So the kid and the woman, I think, got killed.
Oh, the kid sticks around.
No, no, no. Second kid.
Okay. Oh, kid sticks around.
No, the kid gets grabbed by one of the monsters. You're right. Him. He doesn't get killed.
Like we said, chaos. So the kid lives.
Yeah.
The elderly Nazi lives. Because he's with them. Mm-hmm. And we have the kid for a little while.
I think the woman lives too.
She comes back later as a monster. So she
her narrative purpose has been served at this point. I genuinely don't remember if she died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're in the basement. And at this point, we get the big reveal.
So the camera film had run out. When the camera comes back on, Sergei finds in the bag with all the camera equipment that there's a radio that has been blocking their transmissions and is playing the Tiger Bear message over and over again.
Yeah.
And it leads them to discover that Dima is an agent of the state.
Fucking asshole.
And he is there on a specific mission to retrieve the doctor who's doing all this,
creating these creatures.
Right. He says, there's no other army. It's just us. There's no one here for us to save. I have, you know,
I'm a commander or something. Yeah, I have rank on all of you.
From Stalin or something saying, I'm in charge. Listen to me. Also, we have a list of all of your friends and family. And if I die, then they all die. So toe the line, motherfuckers.
So they're all pissed at him. And he's like, we're going forward. They look at the Nazi dude who's just had a hell of a day. And they're like, hey, lead us to the doctor. And he's just like, can we just go home?
He's just like,
we really don't want to do that. And they're like, we do.
Dude didn't want
to be there. Fortunately, the basement of this church leads directly to the doctor.
Apparently, everything's connected by tunnels, which also reminded me of a video game.
It actually does kind of check out, though, for, you know, some of that Soviet era, World War. There were a lot of, like, those hidden bunkers and stuff, so.
Can I just comment? I had said earlier the Nazi is elderly, but he's, like, 70.
He's an old man.
Did, like, recruitment dry up toward the end that badly?
He could have been a higher up, though, for all we know. Like,
I don't think he was that high up if he's here.
Okay, this is a crazy place. So it was top secret. He could have been a top secret guy working on it.
Oh, yeah, that's true, I guess. Okay. I was just a little bit confused by that casting choice.
So we go through the tunnels for a bit, and
there's just body parts rotting everywhere. Yeah. Apparently, it smells really bad. Everybody's covering their face. The Nazi, he doesn't speak English, so he's speaking in German. He's pointing. There's like rail tracks.
Yeah, like a minecart tracks.
Yeah, that go off, and he's pointing like, follow the tracks.
I'm not going to lie to you. When they looked at that, I was really hoping for like an Indiana Jones rail cart scene with monsters, and I didn't get it.
But we get to a room with a slightly more exciting fixture, or as I call it, the corpse shoot room.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. Can I just say that?
Oh, this, I forgot. This might be my second favorite creature that we're going to come into here.
Can I just say that right before this, they run into that room because a monster comes around?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like a blade armed guy, whatever, but he's goose stepping. And I was laughing so hard. It was so funny. Because all these monsters used to be Nazi soldiers. And.
Well, some of them, used parts from everybody. Yeah.
But most of them, the whole thing is that he like turned on the soldiers and started.
He did his own thing.
Yep. Right. So the monster was goose stepping at them, and it made me laugh really hard.
It was funny.
It was good.
And then they get into they lock themselves in this room.
And then they turn around. All of a sudden, they didn't realize at first, crawling on the floor is this legless monster with like a sea mine for a head.
Yeah.
And I was like, crap.
But yeah, and Dima's like, leave it alone. It can't hurt us. Leave it like, why? Who cares? No, kill it.
That's a bomb on its head.
It might change its mind. Just take it out.
Yeah. My favorite part of this whole scene is just that it's crawling around in random places. Yeah,
it's like, just crawling around through the entire next scene.
Yeah, like, it's so funny.
Just great. Doing its own thing.
Randomly see it like crawl by, and I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot about that guy.
Yep, he's here.
So this is where the kid comes back because they find a mine cart and in it is the kid.
That might be true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this point, my pen ran out.
All right. So the corpse shoot room, right?
Yes.
We're at the corpse shoot room and Dima's like, gotta go down the chute, obviously. Terrible idea.
Yeah, so there's a bloody chute with like the butcher
body parts and stuff
hanging down. And there's a crate of body parts at the top. So they decide.
And you hear noises from the bottom that sound like machinery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful.
So they kill the creature. There was something like schlepping stuff from one. They headshot it. It's done quick.
Yeah. So they decide to take the small child and lower him down the chute and stick his head at the bottom. To look around for them.
The whole time they're telling him, like, don't worry, we'll pull you back up.
Tell us what you see down there. And then, like, a freaking cloud of, like, steam comes out and he starts screaming. It's just like, kill him, that child.
Yeah.
They drop him. Vasily drops him.
Child is dead.
Yeah.
Check. It's just legs now. Which
honestly, probably the best for him at this point.
Yeah, it's better than what would have happened.
The trauma from this, if he would have lived, would have just been so terrible.
I think would have preferred the trauma. I'm not going to lie.
Then we
top tier design monster comes out.
Yes.
Yes.
This guy is literally, if you imagine a guy in a diver suit, but you replace the helmet of the diver suit with the front of like a World War II airplane. He's literally got a big propeller on his face with like exposed fuel lines and everything. It's just spinning. And he just walks in, starts walking at him with his propeller face.
That's a nightmare scenario to see coming at you.
So good.
Big too.
So good.
When that came out of the chute, I was like, oh, shit.
It should be noted.
Helicopter face pops out.
It should be noted that every single one of these things has been 100% practical. There's zero CG in this movie, as far as I can tell.
Yes. Yeah.
So this great.
Costuming is amazing.
It's just wonderful.
I actually was reading in the trivia that the director specifically, he's the writer as well, didn't want a lot of CGI. He wanted it to be like realistic. So there's like a little bit, I think it's probably blood, like all the blood and stuff, and like the burning and whatnot. But almost all of it is practical effects, which is it you can tell, and it makes such a difference. Mm-hmm. It's so much better.
Oh God, if these were CG monsters, this movie would be nowhere near.
Stupid.
Nowhere near.
Dumb. So they cut the hydraulics on helicopter face and the fluid leaks out.
That was kind of disappointing. I wanted like the Nazi or someone to get pushed into it.
I mean, he gets taken out by it, but indirectly.
Oh, yeah.
Because its head explodes.
Explodes into flames.
Yeah, they light him up.
Yeah. And then one of the propellers in the explosion goes into the Nazi's head, and he's done.
He does like a freaking Wile E. Coyote death where he's like sitting upright and like looks at the camera and then realizes he's dead and falls over.
Yep.
Vasily's laughing at him. I'm like, dude, there's enough going on.
It was funny.
Then at this point, we see the bomb face thing just like crawls down and goes
crawls down the chute. Yeah.
Going home.
Oh, man. So here's where they decide, fuck this shit. We're done. So they take Dima. They throw him and his bag and his camera down the chute. And so we see them like yelling at him like, fuck you. We're getting out of here. And he's at the bottom of the chute and the camera is like off to the side. So it's like filming him.
Yeah.
And
you see this, like it's a room full of bones and limbs.
He's in a pile of.
Yeah.
Of
it's exactly what you thought was at the bottom of that chute. Yeah.
At this point, this is the first point in the film that I thought we can end this movie right here. I feel like great. Okay. Yep. Dima was pushing him in here and they booted him out. And now he's going to get brutalized by the next monster who shows up. Roll credits. Doesn't happen.
It could have, and it would have been acceptable.
Right.
Well, the problem was, even at its actual length of an hour and 22 minutes, it's short. So they were like, we can't finish it in an hour, to which I say, yes, you could. Be brave.
Then we wouldn't get what comes next, which is
Okay, so it's thoroughly enjoyable, but I think Brett and I are on the same page. We didn't need what comes next.
You don't need.
I'm saving it. Don't worry.
Anything. Yeah.
I'm saving it.
So,
but we're gonna get it.
So then,
and we're gonna like it.
So then he's down there ranting about Stalin because he's pissed. He's whatever. Then a monster. We see monster legs come over, grabs the bag. It grabs the bag and starts to walk away. And so, Dima grabs the camera and starts to follow.
Yeah, because that's all his footage, and that's important apparently.
Yeah. And at this point, we get like a jump scare. It turns around and screeches at him.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's exactly.
Jump?
Yeah,
one of them made me jump.
No, no, it's the two in the shower later.
Oh, that did.
That was fun.
Jump. Yeah,
yeah. Made me jump. Two in the shower later. Stay tuned.
So he's following it with the camera. We see like train tunnels that kind of reminded me of House of a Thousand Corpses, like that underground, like crazy sort of.
Oh yeah, no, a little bit, a little bit.
Yeah.
Put it on the list.
Put on the list. There's a conveyor belt with dead body parts. Then the monsters see him and start coming after him. He's running away, blah, blah, blah. So he locks himself in a room and turns the camera on himself, a selfie.
Okay.
And he does the Blair Witch Project selfie situation.
I'm so scared.
And we find and we find out the whole reason he's doing what he is because Stalin has his parents and promised him, you know, if he was able to go and convince this doctor to either come work for them or, you know, he would release his parents. And obviously that's a lie. His parents are long dead. Let's be real here.
Which, yeah, like, okay.
But it's the only option he had.
Listen, I love my parents, but if I was faced with this situation, I might be like, I'm going to just go home now.
Well, my question is, how much intel did he have on what this guy was doing? Because if you knew, hey, there are chopper monster creatures here and I'm going with a small squad, I'd be like, I'm out. But if you're just telling me, hey, it's a doctor in a small little village, you know, he's a little bit of an inventor, you know, we'd like to send you in with an entire armed platoon, I'd be like, okay, I think I can do this.
I don't know. At this point, it's really hard to stir any sympathy for this character because he's been a monumental rod the whole film.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But like... okay, we get it. There's his motivation. Fair enough.
So this next scene, we're going to have to spend a little bit of time talking about this set because he then decides he's moving forward. He climbs up some stairs and enters into what will be quickly revealed as Dr. Frankenstein's study office, bedroom quarters.
So
they're amazing.
There's a whole wall of radio equipment. There's a fish tank in the center of the room with a woman's head sewed to a small teddy bear's body. And she's
alive
there going.
She's like moving, looking at him.
Like, I'm a fucking teddy bear.
In the credits, that's listed as his mother. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. If only it was like labeled as such so I could have enjoyed that reveal in the movie.
Oh, that's a good reveal.
I wish that it said like mother or whatever.
Mother.
So then moving on from there, he goes into this other room and that is actually like more like a study.
Yeah.
And there's old timey pictures of the doctor. There's the Frankenstein family crest on the wall. There's like a zoom in and out of things, like, so obviously he's standing in the middle of the room and zooming in to look at pictures and whatnot, and so that was when I was like, oh, this is like a video game, this is like when you're playing
that's when you said that to
me. Like inspect and you zoom in or whatever.
This whole sequence, like from Dima getting kicked down the well to the final scene, is very gamey. It reminds me of that first person section in the Doom movie where you can very clearly see they want you to feel the sense of like exploring this area yourself. Mm-hmm. Very fun. Yep.
This movie does it much better than Doom.
The Rock was in Doom. Better movie.
All right. The Rock. Yeah. Well, yes, but The Rock was in this movie for a little bit.
Little bit.
So my thought at this moment was, all right, you've seen the hellish hellscape that's out there. This is clearly the doctor's quarters. That your mission's to talk to him. Stay in this room until he comes back. Why go exploring anywhere else? There are fucking monsters everywhere.
And this is the second place the movie could have ended fine.
Right.
Yeah, just have like Dr. Frankenstein come in, have him turn around, a monster hits him or something.
Right.
Yeah. So it's because from here it just turns like real wacky. I mean, satisfying, yeah, in my opinion, but real wacky. So Dima is still looking around. He goes out into, he leaves the study area. He goes out into this, it opens up into this warehouse.
Okay, I called it the best gymnasium ever.
Yeah, it looks like a giant gymnasium, you're right. And from the ceiling are hundreds of bodies just hanging.
And it's got like a vapor, what's that, on the floor.
Like the dry ice.
Like dry ice mist on the floor.
On the floor, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Biggest freezer in town.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Yeah. It also looks like a room I would shut the door and not fucking go in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd turn around, back up the chute. So there's a monster that is just hoisting bodies up. I guess that's just his job. And then he's kind of loading stuff into this cart. The guy is, Dima's hiding behind the cart, watching the monster. Mm-hmm. Then there's a person who's still alive in the body cart, and he's German, and he starts talking to him in German, and I really want to know what he was saying.
I enjoyed that they didn't subtitle the times the Nazis talked in German, because it created that good effect of, there's a barrier here. I wouldn't know what this guy's saying if I was in mm-hmm. that position.
Yeah, definitely. So then the monster comes to get the cart, and the German guy just starts screaming and yelling.
Okay, so you were so pissed about this because Dima's behind this mine cart. It's probably 50 feet away as the monster's coming. Dina, like, walks away, and you're like, how does that monster not fucking see
50,
him?
50 feet is far too generous. It was like 20 feet.
Yeah.
It was like 20 feet in a well-lit room.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you got stealth 100. That dude was going to see you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You either are going to have to pay to get your fines reduced, or you're going to have to fight the guard.
Or play with your blood, yeah.
Mm. We've also already established that Ian's real bad at estimating distances.
Okay, so. This is an established fact. What was it? Floor? Oh, yeah, it was in final exam. And I'm like, oh, he's like 50 feet up. And you're like, it was like 8 floors up, Ian.
Somewhere between 5 and 20,000 square feet of lava. Yeah.
It was between the ground and the sky.
I couldn't tell.
So this, I actually kind of liked this scene. So the monster takes the cart with the screaming German, I'm assuming he's a Nazi soldier. Actually, he is, because yes. And we're just following him.
Yeah.
Like the monster's slowly pushing the cart with this man screaming. And I don't speak German, but he was saying no over and over again.
Yeah. There's 9, 9, 9, 9.
Mm-hmm. And it just was like, it kind of was unnerving a little bit. I was like, oh God, it's like, oh, stop fucking screaming. But it was
unsettling.
Yeah. Because the guy just kept screaming. It was just a slow walk, and he was just following him as the monster was taking him to the lab, as we find out.
Yeah. As he's walking through, so we go through another set of meat curtains. He's pushing this cart on train tracks, the mine carts.
Don't call them meat curtains.
Meat curtains.
Well, when you go into a meat freezer, that's what they are. That's what they're called.
No.
They're not called meat curtains.
Rejected.
I'm sticking by it.
Ian, do you know what meat curtains?
I know the other meaning. I was trying to be the adult of the moment and just continue forward.
This part ain't making it in the podcast.
As we've also described, I'm really good at getting close to the idea that I want to say. And then missing it.
So the monster pushes his way into the vagina, and he's dragging the screaming German along with him, 999.
He goes through the flappy vag lips.
This is the entryway into where all these creatures are birthed by Dr. Frankenstein. Oh,
shut up.
So he pushes his way through the freezer curtain.
Thank you.
And we have like a little like... It almost kind of reminded me like a high school, like locker room shower kind of large area.
Yeah.
And he explores a little and he turns and there are like three shower stalls open next to each other. And there are these two gigantic monsters and they look like they're inactive. And so he gets up close and he looks at one
on
his right.
Can we describe them? They have like big divers helmets on, not big daddy style, but those old school ones that they
deep sea diver. Yeah.
Like lower you down by the cable kind of thing. And they just look real creepy. They have blade arms.
They looked like they were like 10 feet tall too. They were big. Yeah,
they were huge.
So he turns and looks at one on his right, pans the one on the left, pans back, and the one on the right is gone, which is great. And this is, and then he turned, it's attacking him. And this is where you jumped.
Yeah, and then he's like, what? And then all of a sudden, the thing is in his face. Like,
and Sam was like, ooh.
Well, I didn't make
You were happy about it. You thought it was good.
I didn't make a noise. I just go, ooh, that made me jump.
So this is where Dima gets knocked out, finally.
Yeah, so those monsters, actually, I wrote here, they had Edward Scissorhand hands. Like, it matters, but whatever.
Scissorhand hands.
No. He doesn't get knocked out yet because he's running.
Oh, yeah.
And there are monsters everywhere.
Everywhere.
So many fucking monsters.
It's like a hive mind. Once one of them sees him, everyone's coming after him.
Yeah. So then at that point, he runs into the guy who had the helmet.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Smashed. Obviously, his helmet's gone or whatever.
Yeah, but he's like a zombie.
Yeah. Yep. And he had blade hands. He has a sledgehammer hand.
Yeah, he sledgehammers him.
And,
yeah,
and he's smashing him, and somehow the guy's fine. He's fine.
Dude, the camera took the brunt of the blow. Let's be real.
Deft parries. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. So he knocks him out though, and then we have a random montage with someone feeding a bunny and a Nazi tea set.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were some odd shots.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess the takeaway is that someone else was fooling around with the camera for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was just funny because I'm like, necessary? Probably not.
But it also gave us the shot of the injured fingers been sewn back on.
Right.
And so we get the reveal that, oh, whoever they had tortured is back in the picture.
Mm-hmm. But they don't explain how he got shot in the leg and he's fine.
I mean, he walked it off. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, he's got magical instruments. He could, maybe he replaced his own leg with a machine gun. Who knows?
And so we finally meet Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah. So he's an older gentleman. He's in a nice little kitchen. Dima's at one side of the table. He's got a monster making them soup.
Soup's a generous term.
Yeah. Well, he says, you have to eat the soup. I need you to be strong. I have my own special ingredients in it.
It's people. Let's be real. It's people.
I mean, it looked pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dude, so this guy, all right, you're in this room. He's like, eat it. You have no escape here. You eat the food.
Just eat the fucking
food. Eat the fucking food. That way,
I'm hungry usually, so why not?
Yeah. So he could have avoided the whole monster coming in, holding his head, being force-fed. You could have had a better experience.
Yeah, so he's force-fed by the monster and the doctor. And then the doctor explains, I need you to be strong because I need you to make a record of my experiments for posterity.
Mm-hmm.
And P.S. I'm Dr. Frankenstein, and I'm just going to dump this soup all over your face.
Yeah.
Rude.
It's pretty much how it went, right?
No, that nails it. So it cuts then to the rest of this film is documentary of Dr. Frankenstein walking us through his lab and process. Right.
We still have like 20 minutes left in the movie.
Yeah.
I seriously paused at this point because I had to go to the men's room, but I was just like, why is there still so much runtime left? We are at the end. Just kill him and be done with it.
Right. It turned into a different movie here.
Yeah. I was like, you should have just said no. He should have said the proposal he wanted. Frankenstein should have said no, kill him, over.
I know you, as the viewer, have been like me, sitting there for hours, or at least an hour at this point, thinking, what is the director's artistic intent behind this film? Well, thank God his mouthpiece is here to tell us. Because Frankenwerfer starts tossing out a lot of stuff.
Do you like exposition? Because I've got 10 minutes of a film for you.
He's got some philosophy. Sure is something.
He's definitely got some daddy issues.
Oh, he totally has daddy issues. Yeah. Well, he says, he said that his dad made a comment that men would be more efficient if they had screwdrivers and hammers instead of hands.
Which is incorrect.
Right. Because how are you going to wipe your butt? It was my first thought.
Right.
Whatever. Priorities. So then he says he started doing it with cats to test it out.
Was he the reason about uninvited? Jokes Brett doesn't get because he wasn't on that episode. Sorry.
Shared cinematic universe, probably.
Yeah.
So the dad caught him, you know, mutilating cats and said it was a sin against God. And then we find out later that he, I guess, tried to send him to an institution.
Exactly how Dexter started.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So then after his dad, I mean, the first four seasons are excellent and then just stop.
Yeah. Seriously, stop after four.
All right. Good to know.
I could see you buying it on Amazon as we were talking, so.
Thank you. Yeah, you saved me. Yeah. $2.
Who buys DVDs? Fans.
So then he says after his dad died, someone told the Nazis about his cat experiments. And so the Nazis came and were like, hey, buddy, you want to come work for us? Which sounds
well, he was
legit.
He was in a work camp.
Yeah,
and the Nazis basically were like, you get to leave the camp as a living, breathing person if you make us abominations.
And he was like, yeah, you could have just said, I didn't get to leave and just make abominations I'm in.
Right. Well, right. Because they do have a history of employing, you know, psychopathic doctors. So.
Yeah.
And then we hired all of them after the war.
Yeah, woo. There you go.
Operation Paperclip, kids, look it up.
Fuck yeah.
My soul hurts.
Yeah.
No government is clean. Which is basically his rant, actually.
Yeah.
It's true.
Absolutely. So he uses his grampy's notes.
Which I liked because that was a, he's like, grandpa only had electricity from lightning. Mm-hmm. I have a generator. And I'm like, oh, they are trying to make it the Frankenstein universe. Points for trying.
Well, and then he says, my father was a toy maker. What a fucking loser. Not exactly those words, but that was the gist of it. So he also, like, Dima calls the monsters monsters, and he gets offended by it. And he goes on a little rant about how they're not monsters.
They're all alive.
Still technically alive in there.
Which I have questions about for our favorite one, because I don't think it has organs to be alive. So they're walking through his shop, you know, he's going on all this rant. Dima starts proposing his whole purpose there.
Not yet. You just missed a huge thing. Right?
Lay it on us.
Yeah. So
no.
As he's going through this rant about his father and how the people are still alive inside, we get a quick shot of dead Sasha in the background.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yep.
In a dumpster, basically, of human bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is important. Later.
You're like, oh, the squad's been caught.
Right. So then the doctor shows, in comes a wheeled-in cart, and we get the reveal when he turns it around that Vasily is strapped to it Hannibal Lecter style,
mm-hmm.
with both arms missing.
And he's still a dick to Dima.
Oh God. He's such
I mean, to be fair, everyone should be a dick to Dima, but.
So he's yelling and whatever. And I don't know what it is, but I loved this scene. So the doctor's taking Vasily somewhere, obviously, and we're about to follow them. And Vasily's like, fuck you. And the doctor's like, don't do this. Don't do this to me. And he's like, fuck. And he just keeps yelling. And finally the doctor
snaps.
Is just like, fuck you. And just starts spitting in his face.
It was great.
And they're just like spitting in each other's faces. I was like, oh my God, this is nuts.
Everyone was 100% in who was in this film. Good. I give them that.
Yeah, it was wacky.
So you're right. As they're taking him, that's when Dima goes, listen, I have an offer for you. Because the doctor's like, what's that sound? And he goes, that's the Russian army. It's coming in the distance. It's artillery. And he goes, you can work for us and you can live. Otherwise, we're going to come and bulldoze, you know, your whole place compound and kill everyone. You're dead. And yeah, the doctor's like, I'll think about it.
Well, no, he goes, oh, I could work miracles with living flesh. And I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool.
And then we get the next reveal.
Hold on. Can we just get talk about the most adorable little monster?
Yes.
So it's a giant pot with a Nazi symbol on it with little child legs, which apparently are the child from earlier who got totally chopped up except for his legs. Its name is Hans.
It's a straight up gonk droid out of Star Wars.
It had a little Howl's Moving Castle vibe to me.
So funny.
It's just one of those like dumb little robots that you're like, what does this even do?
And you're like, be adorable.
Go over there. I was like, his name is
It was so good. It was great. That's the only one where I'm like, I don't know if you could technically call that alive. It's just legs.
It's legs, yeah.
All right.
Now you can.
So then we get our second reveal as they pull up Vasily and he goes, tell me which of these is the better communist. And we see in a chair, turn around, it's Sergei. And his head's been shaved. He's in this messed up, like skull cap kind of metal thing. And he's just messed up.
So that accounts for everybody else in the movie.
Everyone's been accounted for. Dima says Sergei's the better Nazi, so the doctor kills Vasily.
Communist.
Or better communist. Yeah. I mean, yes, big difference, but in this movie, who cares? Stabs Vasily, kills him with a shot to the heart. And then he goes to take Sergei off. Yeah, he does.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that Vasily's still alive a little bit later.
No, he gets...
He like jabs him with something, I think.
Right in the heart, and he's out, done. Yeah.
Then I didn't write that down.
Bad medicine.
It was a disappointment.
Because I hated him and I didn't care.
It was a disappointing end for Vasily. I thought he
needed... I'm going to be honest, Sam. I don't have a single note from this film after the room full of way too many bodies.
Yeah.
Because my ability to take notes about this movie dropped off around the time that I decided it should have ended for the second time. Not that this part isn't interesting in its own way.
Right. It's just a different movie.
It's just, it's an addend. It's the appendix to this movie.
It is the most drawn out death for our point of view character that I have seen in a movie in a long time.
Yes. The death itself is satisfying, but yes, it takes 2 weeks to get there.
Right. So we get this very stylistic shot of he's filming in the mirror. There's the Nazi guy from earlier who was screaming. Mm-hmm. And so you see, what's his fucking name? The cameraman.
Dima.
You see him holding the camera in the mirror, filming the Nazi with the doctor over his shoulder. He's about to do...
Sergei's in the background in a wheelchair.
Yeah. He's about to do some surgery on him, basically, is what's happening. And he's cutting open his skull. He pulls away. We see Sergei being prepped by a monster nurse, which is the lady from earlier. She's got, like, boob armor.
She looks so weird.
Yeah.
It was a very Star Wars feel to it.
She's a Twi'lek, basically. Yeah. She's got like a wrapped hair tentacles and is like a little too sexy for a zombie. And I'm like,
tiny bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Frankenstein's got to keep himself interested, you know?
Yes. So this is where the doctor is explaining what he's about to do.
Can we also say this is the most accurate scientific surgical procedure I've ever seen?
Well, it shows him cutting the corpus callosum, which is the piece in the middle of the two brain hemispheres, and popping one out.
He might as well have done it with a wiffle ball bat the way he approached it.
Right. So he's saying, I'm going to take these two guys, the Nazi and the communist, and I'm going to dissect, like pull each of them. I'm going to pull a hemisphere out and plop it in the other guy's head. So that way they'll begin to understand each other.
See, he already had a rant about how like isms are bullshit, basically. Mm-hmm. Like he drops into his like disaffected teenager mode and is like, Nazis and capitalists are all the same, and so are communists, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, is that really the point that you're trying to make with this movie? Because
I'm mad about my dad, and
nothing led to that.
Right.
I genuinely think the point of this movie was, monsters. I want to do some cool monsters.
Yeah.
So it should have ended after the cool
monsters. Oh, no, I actually genuinely think...
I have some trivia for that afterward.
I think the genuine point of this movie is the very last shot in the film. Which we're coming up on pretty soon. Coming up on pretty soon. Yeah. I think that is the whole reason this movie was made.
Pretty soon, yeah.
One shot.
So the doctor and the nurse step away so that they can have a little moment where Sergei is like, help me. And Dima's like, I can't. Sorry. And Sergei just starts screaming, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to fucking kill you. And Dima's like, I'm sorry. I can't help. And then we get a little bit of dead Sasha in the background.
Yeah. To be fair. Mattering.
Right. Reinforcing that he's
Dima
in the body.
Dima couldn't have helped there because he's a coward and he's outmatched by everything.
Yeah. So then we get the doctor putting the brains, transplanting the brains.
So then we get the doctor's about to start cutting on Sergei, and Dima gets knocked out from behind and the camera falls. Because from there on out, Frankenstein's camera, using the camera.
Okay, but right before that, he completed the surgery on Sergei, and listen.
Sergei gets his skull popped open. Yeah. Cameras change possession.
Yeah.
His head is sewn back together. He's hooked up to electricity.
Oh, yeah.
He's like electrocuting him, kind of, and they're sparking and smoking. And so the doctor says, oh, he needs readjusting. And that's when Dima gets knocked out because he decides, I'm going to use you instead because this guy's not working.
So
the patient has ceased breathing.
A lot of credit for Sergei acting the shit out of that electrocution.
Yeah. That was gross.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Dima wakes up with the doctor. So he's laying down. He's strapped to a table. The camera is at his feet and the doctor is like over his face. And he says, I'm just going to do one last experiment. Maybe I'll bury this camera in your skull. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah.
And Diem's like, no, you still have time to take up our offer. What about our deal? And Frankenstein's like, I've decided to decline your offer.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Because the Russian army is apparently like right down the block coming for us. Somehow cutting through these abominations.
Let's be real. They didn't give this stealth team any chance to get there. If you were just going to come bare knock on his door, why'd they even send this guy?
Who knows? This is a fun little deus ex machina, in my opinion, but whatever. So he's...
And the movie Ex Machina, yes.
he's about to inject Dima with this paralytic drug that he says he used on his father.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, why even say that shit?
Just put it in him.
Like, why are you even bringing more story that you're not going to explain into this movie at this point? You're at the end.
You got to taunt your victim.
I guess.
Yeah.
That old trope. So then bomb hits the building. Rubble starts to fall. So he doesn't wind up.
It's like, I guess I won't have time for you after all.
Right. So he runs and grabs his paperwork, like a big briefcase full of his paperwork. And he's like, just so you know, my monsters may start to go crazy because they only listen to me. And once I'm gone, they're going to start turning on each other. So have fun with that. And so Dima's strapped to the table with like a chain around his neck. Like he's not going.
He's losing his mind as correctly like you would be.
So then.
In the background, we have seen the last minute or two that Sasha's not dead and he's sneaking up with a rifle. At this moment, he shoots Frankenstein.
Pops him good.
And I was like, you know, I kind of wanted Frankenstein to live so there could be a sequel. Like Frankenstein's second army, you know?
You never know. He could. Okay, so something that happens, he could.
No, he can't have a sequel.
Okay.
He very much can't have a sequel because.
I took this scene a little differently. Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah, Sasha. Good on you. You deserve the win.
Sasha deserves the win. So Sasha comes over, grabs Frankenstein's stuff.
So
goes to run away. Then he comes back.
No, hold on. Dima's screaming at him.
Oh, yeah.
What did you do? We needed him. Like, right. You fucking idiot. You fucking idiot. And I'm like, why are you yelling at the only person who could save you, absolute piece of garbage.
Dima's garbage. And so Sasha's ignoring him completely, which is awesome. Great cold shoulder.
He's down next to him cutting off the doctor's head.
Yeah, he cuts off Frankenstein's head for proof. Yeah. Grabs the notes, pieces out. And as he's piecing out, he walks by and sees motherfucking Sergei is stumbling, losing his mind because it's not working right.
Sasha also grabbed the camera at that point.
Yeah, too. Sasha grabbed the camera. And he starts filming as Sergei is just like, his brain is two brains. It's not working right. It's just stumbling towards Dima, and he gets to him. And the last shot we see of that before Sasha runs is him starting to eat Dima's face. And I was like, he did kill you.
Whose face? You were like,
Dima. Yeah, I didn't hit it right there. I was too excited.
It's okay.
It's all right.
At least I didn't say meat curtains.
All right, so Brett, describe the final scene of this movie.
We open on black, and an image starts to peel in, an old-timey photograph of our glorious leader, Stalin, with the hero of the Russian army next to him. Your boy Sasha just standing there. Ugh.
Your boy made it!
So good.
So good.
So funny.
And if anyone deserved to survive, it was Sasha.
Yeah.
Like Gump standing with the president, Sasha was there with our leader.
Oh my God. So good.
Very silly.
Yes. This is my wheelhouse. After you get 30 minutes in, it's my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I will watch this movie multiple more times in my life. The monsters and the chaos are so well done.
So the monsters, I have a little piece of trivia because I was reading about it last night. As I went down a deep dive to find the names of all the monsters because they popped up in the credits and we were reading them and we were like, oh my God, this is so funny. We're going to post them on Instagram. So the director, the writer director of this movie had mocked up and posted a teaser trailer to a movie he was working on. I don't remember the name of it, that had a few of the monsters in it. And apparently it got insanely good reviews. A ton of people were like going wild on the internet about it. It was super viral all over the place. But then there were production issues and they wound up shutting down production. So it never got made. So he took a bunch of the monsters from that movie and this movie was created. And so
awesome.
It doesn't say it in any of the publications that I read, but basically the idea is this movie was a vehicle for those fucking awesome monsters from that trailer.
Absolutely. And they just forced a story around it, which fit.
It's fine. It's fine.
So Brett, your take on Frankenstein's Army.
Well, since I was the only one who went into this with virgin eyes, right. So the highs for me were the set design and obviously the monsters themselves. Beautiful practical effects, fun designs, creepy locales, all that stuff. Acting left a bit to be desired. Writing didn't really happen at any point.
I don't think there was a script, no.
The plot of the movie can be summarized in a sentence of some guys fight monsters. I didn't hate it. I felt it went a bit too, it was long in the teeth in the last act. Overall, I enjoyed most of it. I think they could have taken the Dr. Frankenstein section, cut 10 minutes out of it, and still have been exactly as effective. But
yeah,
not an awful movie, which is almost high praise coming from me.
Yeah. So definitely. You guys will have plenty more Brett on episodes moving forward. It's good to know. He is very critical of what he likes and doesn't like. So for him to say that, that's a win in my book that I gave him a movie that he did not hate.
And so I think the Frankenstein actor, he's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen him before.
He's been in a ton of stuff. And I feel like they probably just wanted to like use him as much as they could. So they probably like beefed it up a little bit.
Right.
I would imagine. Yeah, exactly. It's like Brad Dourif money, you know? So.
Well, and also the whole premise is we're going to see the doctor. If it's like a 2-second scene, I wonder if they're like, oh, well, the whole movie was leading up to these 2 seconds. Okay.
I mean, it could have just been that they were, you know, wandering back home after being on the front or whatever and just happened into this crazy village of monster people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you need to see the doctor for your enjoyment of the film? Because, I mean, for me, there were 3 movies here. The middle one was the best one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could have shaved the first and the last, and I would have been okay.
Yeah, if you wanted to elongate the middle an extra 30 minutes, sure.
Just, yeah.
The last third, I guess, wasn't terrible for me. It was fine. I laughed through it. It seemed more silly than the rest of the movie.
Yeah, the tonal shift was significant. Yeah,
which is part of why it felt like a different movie, because it changed more to silly.
To the Office Monster Edition.
Yeah, it was kind of funny the way he was like, you know, like, Hans, come over here, like to the
so weird
kid monster, you know, little stuff like that. It was enjoyable. Like, I still liked it. It just, when you look at it, it's a different movie.
Yeah.
It's a different
movie. Yeah, even the, like, cinematography was mm-hmm. pretty mm-hmm. astoundingly different. Like, the shot composition and the sets were a lot lighter.
Yeah,
and
it was,
like,
very bright.
Part of that feels like, okay, we're going to finally give you a chance to get a good look at all these weird things we made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
because the danger elements removed because Frankenstein's there. So Dima is not at risk anymore. And that's the first time in the movie where there's this idea of some safety.
Which, to me, a movie like this, I don't necessarily love that.
No.
I kind of want it to be terrifying the whole time with monsters like that. You don't want them, because when they're inert, they lose how scary
the whole fun was. What's going to pop out of a corner next and from where? Like, who's going to rappel down from the cathedral ceiling next?
And we know he's not getting out of it. So.
No, right. You know, there, you know, that deal is, that is a one way deal to Death Town.
Yeah.
He tries real hard though.
He was in it to win it.
He has persistence. I'll give him that.
Yeah, definitely.
Gotta respect the hustle.
Yeah. So Sam, I'm going to ask you the question, or, well, time for the question.
Well, I mean, do I like this yet? I do. I do like this. I've watched it for a third time, mm-hmm. which I don't normally do with movies like this. So yeah, I like it. You know, definitely watch it once. I don't know if I'd watch it a fourth time unless there was a reason to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's a fun movie. You know, show your friends.
Yes.
You're hanging out. Like the second time we watched it, I don't really remember a lot of it because I think we were hanging out and not really paying attention to it.
This is a fun movie to watch with people because mm-hmm. The middle of it is just so much like, holy shit, what's happening? And I've introduced multiple people to it now and, you know, seen either their reactions in live or talked to them and gotten to really enjoy knowing what I'm sending someone into. And
no one's ever hated it.
No one's hated it yet. I haven't, you know, I'd have to send it to like mom for someone to hate it. You know, dad would probably be like, it was interesting. I watched
it. Monsters were cool.
Yeah. Mom would probably be like, why'd you do this?
My mom would
Your mom
underneath a couch and scream and never come out because my mom's afraid of scars.
The best part is your mom would get lulled into complacency by the first 30 minutes and then get fucked over by how this movie goes.
A good war movie.
War movie. She likes What's those, going like, on?
Classic war movies. And then all of a sudden the naked monsters, she'd be like, wow.
Oh, I want to show your mom this movie now.
Please don't. Oh, God.
Oh.
So.
Brett, I think you already said you didn't hate it.
I don't think I'm going to watch it 2 more times to get up to speed with you guys, but no, it wasn't bad.
All right. Well, there you have it. I strongly say go watch this movie. Thank everyone for joining us. Thank you, Brett, for being our guest this episode. We'll probably have you more very frequently sooner than later. You can check out all of our podcasts on doilikethispodcast.com. You can follow us on Instagram at doilikethispodcast, at the.ian.james.
You can follow us on
Facebook group.
Facebook group. Do I like this podcast? Twitter. Sam, do you know it yet?
Dude, my phone is always upstairs with the baby. So
you can find us on Twitter.
I think it's do I like this? Maybe do I like this podcast?
Yeah. We're on Twitter. You can email us at doilikethispodcast@gmail.com. Next week's going to be a good one. So I'm looking forward to that.
And
any teasers?
Any plugs?
Oof. I mean, find me on Tinder. I'm 25 miles away and looking. Any teasers for what you're going to watch next week, huh? Any little tidbits, tantalation to get the...
A teaser is it's going to be a movie that I give the two of you to watch.
Wow. Dang.
I haven't thought of it yet. That's the problem. My time...
Leaving me in suspense.
Okay, so never mind. You all know all the cool stuff that's
coming. We've done a bunch of cool stuff recently.
You know about trolls. You
wasn't
know about
it so cool?
Yeah.
So cool, guys.
Tom Downey, all that stuff has already happened.
It's already happened.
And I'm sure it was amazing.
It was phenomenal.
I loved it.
I'd like to thank everyone for all the donations and praise and awards they gave us for the last few things.
Ian.
Nailed it. All right. We will see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.